Wolves. Many of you saw the film Dances with Wolves and probably remember it fondly. Perhaps you remember a strange scene that Lieutenant Dunbar, the Kevin Costner character, had to get papers to go into the interior. And he stops at an office where there's a major who's head of a station, a fort, and he has to get these papers from the man. The man is clearly an introverted intuitive, and you can tell that because he speaks in archetypal imagery. He says, "I will grant thee thy boon, Sir Knight," he says. And then he proceeds to say some very strange and peculiar things to Kevin Costner, and then he shoots himself. So he's presented, and the sort of the last thing he does before he shoots himself is give these orders. So he's clearly some kind of crazy. And that would be, that's the way the introverted intuitive character is often portrayed in films. But he does at least give Costner the papers to get into the interior. So he gets that far. Farther than in most films. In many films, the person is seen as someone who has to be stopped. The movie Seven, where the person is a trickster who's using the seven deadly sins. The movie Blowout, where a man is tattooing the image of the Liberty Bell on all the women that he murders. The Buffalo Hyde murderer in The Silence of the Lambs. There's a whole series of these figures that all can be identified as involved with archetypal imagery and using introverted intuitive language. A hopeful example, on the other side, is Pulp Fiction, where the introverted intuitive character is the hitman Jules, who was played by, Samuel Jackson, exactly. And he comes in killing people, spouting Ezekiel. And he undergoes a religious transformation in relation to seeing the pattern of the bullets on the wall that don't hit him, and realizes that he's had a divine revelation and decides to stop being a hitman. And he becomes kind of an example of an introverted intuitive becoming enlightened, and it seems to represent a transformation in some aspect of the shadow. But that's a very rare film. For the most part, the introverted intuitives are all seen as negative and crazy. And in fact, many people in this culture, many very fine academic people, saw Pulp Fiction, couldn't see any spiritual redemption at all. All they could see was the violence. They couldn't see the transformation. They couldn't get what Tarantino was getting at. That he was talking, the whole thing is a metaphor for one of America's interventions, when the hitmen go in, and then the attempt to cover it up afterward, and that there's one character who actually sees that there may be another way. All of that got completely lost in the... One Jungian group wouldn't even disinvited me after they'd invited me to give a lecture because I was going to show Pulp Fiction, and their board decided it was too strong for their group. Even the Jungians can't look at the shadow that's telling them something.
Well, again, does it come back to the fact that as a society, we reward the other type of behavior rather than these courageous individuals who stand up and attempt to exhibit that behavior?
But now what I'm saying is no culture has ever changed that didn't have a vision. And so it's the introverted intuitive function that does the visioning. It may well be that we need to get to from extroverted sensation to introverted sensation, but probably I could say that until I was blue in the face, it wouldn't make any difference to people. But if the culture had its own shaman and its own revelation with introverted intuition, the language would be different, but the vision would urge a movement in the other direction. Why do you think the American Indians took such good introverted sensation care of the environment? Because they had a whole mythology that taught them to do so. And that's what we've lost, you see? That's what we've lost. We've lost the introverted intuitive capacity. That's what Jung was, didn't go around saying, move from extroverted sensation to introverted sensation. He simply re-empowered the visioning function, trusting that if people had the access to the vision, that would be enough to help them to make the transformation. So I suppose at a therapeutic level, the most important thing we can do is listen to the visions that are appearing from within us as a culture. And we Jungians are among the group of people who protect the vision. For instance, it was very interesting that right after the World Trade Center disaster, that many, many people in New York had spontaneous images of black birds, and black birds started appearing in dreams and also in artwork. Now, I don't know yet what that means, what those birds represent, but that was a spontaneous vision, you see, and that, to me, that's more interesting data, and where I would want to go is sort of integrating more of what that is trying to say to the people involved than some of the things that have gotten said. But again, to the degree that we don't take a vision seriously, we don't include that data. So maybe that function needs to be empowered, to answer your question.
Yes. I'm fascinated with the Tolkien's work that's been out now in two series, and the third that's about to come in terms of power and the intuitive handling of that, but then also the Da Vinci Code as another sleeper cell of challenging what you said earlier about the patriarchy and whether we're at an epoch of moving or risking moving from patriarchy to a partnership model where there's the feminine and the masculine. And, you know, although I don't know whether it's safe to say in this room, but yeah, it might be Hillary and the other guy for president and vice president. I mean, you know, as an archetypical image.
Here.
I think I just have to let the associations flow on that one. Go ahead. More? This is a moment for a break. We could take about it. Well, I think we're a quorum. There are some people still in caucus outside, but the seminar proceeds. Some of you may have read the article that was published in the Atlanta newsletter, which is a reprint of a review that I made of James Hillman's book, The Dream and the Underworld, back in 1979. There was an onimus in that review, which was activated in me by the fact that in his writings at that time, James Hillman had been quoting John Layard's rule about dream interpretation. John Layard, L-A-Y-A-R-D, was or perhaps Layard, I've never known how to pronounce his name, was a Scottish Jungian analyst. And he conceived the idea, which became known in Jungian circles as Layard's or Layard's rule, which is that nothing in the dream is wrong except perhaps the dream ego. And I'm sorry to say that many, many